Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to The Swamp, Season 4, Episode 8. Max Nethercott joined again by Joel Menzies. Welcome back, Joel.
Thank you very much, Maxie. It's been a long season, podcast-wise. Is this the most podcast we've done in a single year?
I don't think so,
too. I don't know. We've come home just, with a wet sail.
Yeah, I think it's just seemed a bit busy because we've crammed them all in at the end. But we're almost at double digits. We'll probably get there, won't we?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose it was kind of drawn from a bit of abuse, I would say, from a couple of choice members of the Awesome Heels community saying, yeah, where are the podcasts?
Yeah.
And here we are, episode 8 in. We were at 2 by Christmas, I reckon, and we've somehow got 6 in.
Yeah, it's good effort by us.
But yeah, we'll get to double digits, mate.
Of course.
You know, we're going to have to knuckle down for a bit longer.
Absolutely. 1 week left to go in the season. Obviously, the 2's now officially qualified, which is huge.
Yes. Yeah, yep, officially in. I think the 3's were already in.
3's and 4's already in. Yeah. I think the 4's... got to win this week to potentially get top 2, which would be awesome. But we'll talk about that a bit more later. Do you want to do the honours of introducing our guest, mate?
I thought you'd never ask. I suppose the fun fact about this man is he actually has his own podcast that he gave The Swamp a plug.
Yep.
Without 2 Woods 4 Quarters, I've been an avid listener. I've listened to the last few episodes.
Is that what it's called? Right, okay.
Yeah. Hails from Hampton Wick, I believe. Southwest London?
Southwest London, mate.
Southwest London.
You're not meant to speak here.
But yeah, no, I didn't verify something.
He looked inquisitive at me. I didn't know what to say.
A great addition to the pod.
Absolutely.
You know, someone with a bit of experience in podcasting. Welcome to the pod, Michael Wood.
Thanks for having me, mate. How are we, boys?
Yeah, not too bad.
Looking forward to seeing all the UK listens go up this week after our little plug on there.
Yeah, we were chatting in the week, weren't we? I was running Maxie through the Spotify for podcasters stats, and we're trying to up the UK listeners this week. Hopefully we'll climb out of the 0.1%.
Mate, I believe your cousin has already promised to listen. He's on his own podcast too. 2 Woods 4 Quarters. He's promised the fans he'd listen.
So. Yeah, we had a chat last night after a poor weekend for Harlequins. I was gave the boys a bit of a pump up, so hopefully we should get some added listenership this week.
Yeah, we'll get to the podcast in a moment because it's quite interesting. But let's start with we normally start with the usual question, and Maxie was into me about not having a new run sheet. It's the same every week. Mate, a little bit about how you got to Melbourne and how you ended up at the Eels.
So I actually lived in Melbourne for a year in 2016, came over and played a year of hockey down in Frankston after spending 3 months up on the East Coast, drinking beers, growing my hair long, doing what all UK backpackers do.
Yep.
And then moved back to London, 7 years there, and then I got to sort of Christmas of 2023, was sick and tired of the place and thought, fancy moving back here. And then obviously looking for a cricket club. Don't want to pump the tyres on the podcast too much, but I was I knew Tommy Collins. We captained against each other in the Surrey Champs a couple of years ago. I have a bit of a checkered history with friendships that cross over with Tommy Cooper as well, so knew a couple of faces down here.
Jeez.
and I was sniffing around online, and I came across, I knew Elston Wick at the club, I knew the area. Then I went on the Instagram, and I saw the podcast, and I thought, right, I've got to jump on this. And then I felt like I knew the place already before I'd even got here. I knew the names, knew all the stats, knew how the boys were all going, and I thought, yeah, this sounds like a little bit of me. Then I texted all my mates at Quinn's. I said, oh, I think you're going to go and join this cricket club. They've got their own podcast, and they were like, you need to get your head out of your ass, Mikey. Move on, mate, let it go.
So, hang on, the podcast was the main reason. You've gone to the gram and you've seen The Swamp.
I wouldn't say it was the main reason, but it was a contributing factor, Joel. And I'm, No, it's claim it, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And tell us about, obviously, you've got your own podcast. We touched on it before. What does that entail for us Australian listeners?
So, me and my cousin started a podcast about Harlequins Rugby Club in January 2021. We are obviously 2 Woods, 2 Cousins. The club play in four-quartered shirts, so we're 2 Woods, 4 Quarters. Our grandfather played for Harlequins from 1952 to 1959. So it runs in the blood a little bit. It was locked down in the UK. Pretty dark, pretty bleak, pretty miserable. And professional rugby had resurfaced again around the October just before. And we were just bored of texting each other relentlessly about the game. So we jumped on a bit of a podcast and it took off from there. The club went and won the premiership that year in the men's and the women's program. And then we just sort of caught fire at the right time a little bit. We dropped our head coach about a couple of days before we actually agreed to start doing it. So we got on a bit of a run with things. And yeah, 3 or 4 years later, a couple of awards, a couple of stints on radio, a few flags, a couple of trips into Europe and things like that. It's been great fun. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and you get quite looked after by the Harlequins boys. I've listened on the podcast. So your cousin was getting beers given to him, I heard, from the Harlequins staff.
Yeah, they looked after us with quite a lot of stuff in terms of like tickets and a bit of intel and access to the players. And when I moved away, obviously we agreed to keep doing it till the end of the season, and my cousin Will went to one of the games on the Friday night, and because of the time difference, I was up early to do it. So he said, oh, they've given me one of the office suites in the Stoop, the Adrian Stoop, down on Langhorne Drive in Twickenham. And yeah, all the boys and girls in the office were bringing him beers and bringing him some snacks, making sure he was all looked after while he was recording, and they were all sort of diving on camera looking at me, and I'm sat in my room at 6:30 in the morning having just watched the game. But yeah, it was a bizarre experience. He was getting the red carpet treatment. I wasn't afforded the same luxury at the same time.
Yeah, now tell us a bit more about the Surrey Champs. So the club over there, you obviously played in Surrey for a long time, I believe, but you want to give us a bit of a rundown what the standard was like there compared to here? Early indications?
So, yeah, I was at Hampton Wick for six years. Started in September... I'm getting all my maths wrong. Started in April 2019. and then we were interrupted in the 2020 season with COVID. Had like a six-week season. Took over as captain in 2021. So I did three summers there as first grade captain. We got promoted from Division 4 to Division 3 in 2021. And yeah, it was a great time. And unfortunately, I've told a few of the boys, and a lot of them have, TC and Tommy Cooper mentioned, our clubhouse sadly got an arson attack in September 2023, it was.
The time you were leaving.
Yeah, I had one more year of skipper. If they could have left it another year, that would have been nice. But yeah, it was, it was absolutely heartbreaking. It was it was a real home for me and a lot of people. And yeah, an amazing ground. Like, obviously, we're very lucky down here at Elston Wick Park, looking out over a beautiful oval, but looking out over the green pastures of Bushy Park on a summer day in a late August with a beer with your mates was a pretty special place. And yeah, it's fallen on tough times in the last year or so, Hampton Wick, but it'll be bigger and better for it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And in terms of how you find the standard that you're playing there against Elston Wick, how have you found it so far?
Mate, I was talking to TC about this, thinking, having not played first grade here yet, quote-unquote, touch wood, etc., what the standard was like in comparison. And we sort of both agreed that the R1s here, when at full whack and at full clip, would be right up the top of a Division 1 side in Surrey, and probably pushing to play some sort of side premiership, given any given day. And the twos would be in and around that third division that we were at Hampton Wick. So yeah, it's the levels have worked out quite nicely, and our threes here would be probably just better than our second 11 at home. I think just with the culture of cricket in Australia, people are available more and people play more weekends. The standard of cricket with the two-day stuff, I think it takes a bit of a run for itself as well. So yeah, it's it was nice knowing a little bit about the level before coming, and then yeah, I've been really impressed. I think it's an amazing club. I've been very lucky and well looked after since I've been here.
Yeah, awesome. How have you sort of found, obviously you came, what was it, the last game before Christmas, I remember you played with myself in the threes.
Yeah.
How have you found sort of transition from the threes to two? You were probably thrown into the twos pretty quickly after Christmas, weren't you? How have you found the back end of the year?
It was funny because that my Elston Wick debut down at Noble Park with yourself, Nevers.
Yeah. God, Noble.
Yeah.
I was, not even, mate. That's the threes.
Oh,
that's the threes.
No, not even the clubhouse.
T20 just before Christmas, and Nevers goes, mate, you're with me this week. I couldn't be more excited. And I... You opened the batting with...
Yeah, I did. With first time in about six years.
But... Also threatened the bowl if memory serves. Not required.
And, yeah, I came in at three and caressed my first ball for four through backward point. And I thought, Jesus, my Elston Wick career is going to take off here. And I slammed one of it off third ball and got caught.
Very slow walk off, that. I was standing in the middle watching it.
Yeah, a bit of a trudge off. I think that's very much part of my repertoire as a cricketer.
I was going to say, I've already said it a few times. Jeez, mate, you get timed out walking off the ground.
So debut down at Noble Park, then jumps up into the twos here against Brighton. And then we've had a tough result against Brighton that week, but we've been on a bit of a run since then. A little bit of a hiccup against Caulfield, but yeah, it's been great. I'm absolutely loving it. Playing the two-day stuff is class as well. I had a mate from back home who's been playing at South Yarra, and he was trying to get me to go and play there, but I really wanted to have a crack at the two-day stuff and spend 8 years in the dirt with your mates and really see what when the men become boys. And yeah, it was great, but no, it's been awesome, man.
It's nothing.
It.
Yeah, getting the WhatsApp chats from M Wood saying a couple of pints of Dusty's Draft followed by 80 overs in the dirt. I was just shaking my head. I was like, Dusty's Draft in the bin.
I think it's the ideal preparation. You know, you have a couple of pints of Dusty's Draft on a Friday, text the skipper asking what he thinks about the wicket, and then you mentally ready yourself for 80 overs in the dirt. It's no better practice for a Subbies cricketer.
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, you've got one more week till finals. Two's now we can say locked in, which is huge. Mm. Great win on the weekend. How do you see the team going to finals? I believe we'll probably finish fifth or sixth, depending on the result this week.
I think we can go to fourth, but Hoppers would have to lose.
Okay, so yeah. we'll finish fourth, fifth or sixth. So
yeah.
I think a few things have to go away to get a home final out here, which obviously would be ideal.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think we need Brighton ones, maybe Caulfield to both get home finals in the ones for us to get it here as well.
Yeah, makes sense. But how do you think the team's positioned going into finals? You've got a lot of players that are going to qualify. Obviously, Mick will be playing this week to qualify as well, which is a huge in.
Well, we had a bit of a blip against Caulfield. We were obviously without Menzies on that day. Maybe I don't want to put two together, yeah. But you know, say it how I see it. Correlation is not causation. But we had a bit of a blip against Caulfield. We bounced back brilliantly at the weekend against Oakley. Grovesy was just unbelievable on the second day, and we actually bowled really tightly. I don't think we're maybe on any given day, but I think when we're operating at our best, we're really just bowling long overs and tying sides down and being really good in the field, and then maybe going and chasing the second innings. And Grovesy played a brilliant knock on the weekend to take us home. But I think really good space. Like, Bakes is batting beautifully, Grovesy's got a score, Hibby's been going nicely, Jolly's been chipping with regular 30s, and then just as a bowling group, I think we're just finding our best at the minute as a bowling group. And you want to peek into finals. I don't think we've seen it as our best yet. So fingers crossed we'll get there in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully later than that as well, two or three weeks.
Absolutely. There's some bowlers in the threes really bashing down the door as well, which is great to see.
I've heard.
We'll touch on that a bit later. Should we get into the best part of the podcast, John?
Look, we'll be waiting for this E11. now, just for the listeners who haven't listened before, obviously the E11 doesn't necessarily have to be the best side that you've played with at Elsewick. It can be a very niche side, so our last two episodes have been very rogue. but it can just be people you enjoy playing cricket with. It can be the best 11. It's really the guest take on what they want in their E11. So, Michael, would take us away.
I wanted to go down the slightly niche route, but after listening to Cooper and Phillips, I felt a lot of competition to be funny. So it was a really tough act to follow. So I thought I better not do that. So I dropped my own sort of criteria. And there were three. You either had to have given me a lift or provided me with some sort of service throughout my short time as an eel to qualify.
Right.
And I also wanted some decent cricketers that, you know, in the 75th over of a two-day game, if they're 300 for naught and we're just desperate to get off the park, who can you still look left and right at and go, do you know what, I'm really enjoying my company for the day as well. And I wanted a good tourist team, so I wanted some good social members. Why else do we play the game? And I've roughly done it in a cricketing order, but it was loose at best. So opening the batting is a man that I think loves cricket even more than I, which is a tall order. It's Lachlan Baker.
Lachlan Churchill.
Lachlan
leading from the front.
And he's batted brilliantly this year. He's led us fearlessly. His pre-game address against Oakley will go down in the pages of history.
Wish I heard that.
It was good.
Paddy Hibbert was taking notes for history class. Mate. Rome not equal to day.
he gets in. The main reason was FaceTiming me on the way back from Melton, having been given the armband for the week, taking time out of his wedding day to jump on FaceTime and celebrate a win on the way back from Melton. So he got himself in. Opened the batting with Bakes will be Rads. Rads loves a punt. He also drove me back to the club for trivia night after Noble Park.
He
drove me back to the club. And I don't like kit throwers in my team, which will put the selection of one of my members up for question. But Rads copped a good one early on Saturday. Was it third or fourth ball of the day? And there were no theatrics, no amateur dramatics. He just calmly walked inside, took his kit off, and came and sat with the boys all day.
with his sports bed open.
He was secretly stoked, wasn't he?
What's running Randwick race one?
He was doing the form for about race six. Thrown out the window.
Yeah, I think if you'd offered Rads make 70 or get naught and have it down the ponies, I think it's two sides of the same coin. Number three is Mick Edwards.
Yep.
Now, prior to my arrival in the country, Cam added me to the senior men's WhatsApp group, and I think it was a couple of days after Mick went and polished 180 plus against Port. The following week, was then washed out.
Yeah.
And I saw some amazing content of yourself running down some high street tram.
Oh, our race, yeah.
It was a podcast race.
It was a podcast race.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I dusted Max.
Well, you were in the way and I took the outside lane.
But prior to those antics, somebody put a message, and I didn't know any of the numbers say, so I didn't know who this was. Somebody put a message in the group chat saying, you know, wives, girlfriends, husbands, boyfriends, significant others need to know that cricket is going ahead as planned and that we meet at 12:30 at the college lawn for a day on the piss. And I read that and I thought, I don't know who that man is, but I'm sure that at some point we'll become good friends. and that's been the case. Mick gets in. Number four, I needed a fellow pom from somewhere. A man I've not played with yet, but good off the park, Finn Usher.
The fisherman.
Fisherman, yeah. I know he spends a lot of time with his top off. which I like, and you know, post game, I'm hoping just to sort of hang in his slipstream, wait for a nick, and see where the wind blows. So yeah, Finn got in the side. Loves the Tav as well. Finn always came to a trip to the Tav. This is also where Sam Groves gets an honourable mention. Doesn't get in my side because he's a non-drinker, but the only thing better looking than Grovesy is his pull shot, and I need someone to drive the bus. Grozy's Dezza. Number five, it's Cooper Davies, because he'll kick the boys out. I know that joke's been made before, but it is true. But he gets in provided he stays off the snus packets. Have you boys heard about his night out?
No, I have.
we went to pick Coop up from some hotel in Pran somewhere, expecting a couple more beers, and Coop's came out in a pool of his own sweat after trying a little snus packet.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It went south like Sherman. He was passed out on the bench after about 5 minutes. So Coop's is in the side, provides he steers clear.
Hard work from coach.
I don't know if he'll thank me for saying that, but it's good value. Number six, John Menzies, knows the route back to the South Yarra stronghold on the back of his hand.
Oh, I've given him that many lifts. I don't even have the GPS anymore.
We also decided a couple of weeks ago, Jolly, that we both reckon we'd be homeowners if we didn't spend Saturdays playing cricket and having beers.
Yeah, it'd be on my second home by now.
Yeah. That's good. And again, I'm sorry to take away from you, Max. I don't want to pump your co-host tires too much, but he opened my eyes to the Hawthorn Grill. Which I'm forever grateful for.
The Grill House.
The Grill House.
Wow. It's the institution of Hawthorne.
Is it?
A kebabbery.
After trivia night, we had that whole debacle with the FOB system, and I was passed out on Jolie's sofa, no charging the phone, no idea where I was. Kebab stuff all dripping down my chin from the grill the night before, thinking, God, how am I going to get home? Jolly came to my rescue and saved me and got me back to the South Yarra stronghold in safe hands, so I was delighted for that. Forever in your debt. Number seven, Paddy Hibbert. By far my favourite under 18 at the WIC. He also provided me with a school tie on trivia night to complete my get-up. That was the service that he provided me for.
Yeah.
Plus, he's absolutely desperate to turn 18 so he can get out on circuit with the boys.
It's coming up, by the way.
Yeah,
he's coming up.
He's absolutely itching to the point where he even was messaging me during the week asking for sort of techniques on chilling pints. Paddy, I'm at work. I'm trying to concentrate. Paddy's in.
Yeah.
Number eight, Tommy Cooper, fellow Harlequin, fellow middle-class public schoolboy, veteran of the Surrey Championship. We've crossed paths on many occasions on hockey pitches and pubs in the South West London area, so I couldn't go without Tommy Cooper. Mm-hmm. Selection speaks for itself. Number nine, Jay Phillips. Loves the piss. He's also a fellow big rig. I want some big rigs on my team.
There's a big team, isn't it?
It's a very big team.
Yeah, so Coops is doing the kit order. He needs to make sure there's a couple of double XLs kicking about. Also drops me back to the stronghold when required, and he says to me he bowls rockets but only when aided by a substantial tailwind.
That's factual. Caulfield is bowling like 140. Gas.
It was this point I was struggling for a sort of genuine tail ender, and I put Will Smith in at 10. I've never actually played cricket with Smithy.
Never seen him play.
On my first day down at the WIC watching the twos, I said to Bates I'd come down and watch the drinks because I was doing anything possible that stage, try and get in the side, and I may have done that for about 5 or 6 overs, and then Smithy and I sat on the hill all day drinking draft instead. So he gets in my tourist 11, and then we'll wrap it up with Jacob Kerr.
can't go wrong.
I'd only been in the club a matter of days, and I needed a mattress moving from a flat in Jolimont that I picked up on Facebook Marketplace. Uber itself, for some reason, didn't take it, and I threw a Hail Mary message into the group chat asking if anyone had a van or a truck or anything to come and rescue me. And I met Kerry once, texted me back saying, yeah, well, you know where I'll be there in 20 minutes. And he found me sprawled outside AME Park on the outside the Cameron Smith statue and dropped me home with my mattress. So Kerry gets in. Oh, and then I've got Nethers as team manager on the proviso that Nethers has partially promised me a ticket to the Lions' first test in Sydney.
Oh,
so,
no, Menzies is a bad issue.
You want it in your hand before you say you've got it. Let me tell you that from experience. Yes.
So if Nethers comes through with that, you can open the bowling, you can open the batting, you can captain, stand the first slip, you can do what you want.
To be fair to Nethers, he did come through with the Melbourne Cup. But absolutely. He burned me at the tennis. Burned me like a backhand winner. Right. Like a forehand winner, mate. Oh, it's just left wanting. But, no, grade 11, mate.
So Nethers gets in there, you can do what he wants in that team. You can bat who you want, feel what you want, bowl, whatever.
Sounds like every weekend.
Yeah. Sounds like a threes. All right, some quick results, you reckon, Maxie?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll go the ones.
You do the ones, Woody can do the twos.
Yeah. So they resumed. Okay, I can't remember if they were none for 20?
20, I think.
Yeah. Now, looking at this, 4 for 168, they pulled up stumps. In the wickets, Hugh Bennett, 2 for 34. Jack Phillips, 1 for 39. And Roche, 8 overs, 1 for 20. Look, unfortunate end to the season for the boys. I think if they won against Oakley and results went their way, they were still a mathematical chance.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they're just going to fall short of the finals. So, looks always next year. But, hopefully they can close out the season well against Melbourne at home.
Absolutely.
Twos?
Yeah, go twos.
We didn't bowl out Oakley on day one, but they were 200 for nine. We actually bowled really well, Jolie. We just bowled tight, I think, all day.
That is the best we probably bowled.
Yeah, P. Hibbard started off with a run out, direct hit, one stump, which got the boys going. I can't believe I'm going to say it, but L. Baker, probably the pick for me, 16 overs, 3 maidens, 2 for 33. Henry Bennett bowled well, picked up a wicket. Callum bowled well again, picked up a wicket, 2 wickets. Paddy with 1, Geordie with 1. Grosey, probably unlucky, bowled 6 maidens out of his 14 overs, number 33, Grosey. And then he features again on day 2. Bakes 56, Grosley 90 reds, couple of chippings late on, and we chased it 7 down to charge towards the finals.
Awesome, good to watch at the end there. A lot of the club was down. Well, ones had already lost and threes had already won. So it was
a few Carlton drafts flowing in the crowd.
There was. It was great. So on to the threes, we played Port Melbourne, who were first. We were second. We batted first, made 228, so pretty good score. Holmberg 37 off 30, Noah 33, Benny 46, couple of 20s in there. Ashman 22 not out, hasn't got out this year still, Tom Ashman.
Also bowls the heaviest ball at Elston.
Yeah, can do it all.
As voted by the fans.
Absolutely. We actually bowled a few that night, and we had them 3 for 15 thanks to Andy Prokopiou bowling genuine wheels for the thirds. That was the quickest I've seen someone bowl in the threes ever. So, poor blokes at Port Melbourne didn't really know what was coming for them, to be honest. But we had them 3 for 15. We bowled them out for 124 last weekend. They made us earn a couple of blokes in the middle not doing anything of note, except just keeping us out there. Yeah. But I suppose
that's something wrong with 2-day cricket, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they wanted to just keep us out there. Obviously, they were first and we were second, so they wanted to show something, which is fair enough. Yeah. Andy 3-for, Varun 3-for, Raj 2-for was on a hat trick.
No, 2-for shock. Yeah, he always gets 2-for Raj, always.
That's it. But yeah, good win, and we're now 1 point off first. So yeah.
Oh, very good. So who? But Port are playing.
Port are playing Endeavour, who are also in the finals. So that could go either way.
Yeah,
we've got Don Vale, who are more towards the tail, so hopefully we can get a win, see what happens. We've got a home final though, locked in.
We're looking at the fours, bowled Port Melbourne out for 106. Now looking at the wickets there, Fonda Civic, no wickets up front, but 8 overs, 3 maidens for 13. Definitely put the handbrake on the Port Melbourne innings.
Greatest nickname at the club, by a mile, especially when you pull out the handbrake on as well.
The wickets shared around. So through the gears, we've got Jay and Jimmy Collins, 3 for each. Jimmy Collins just ripping up in the fours. Yeah. One's a Sunny, 2 to UV, and the fan of the pod, SR. 14 overs, 5 maidens, 1 for 16.
Captain Courageous.
And then going to the Elswick innings now, it's a little bit of a dicey chase. B. Hammer,
golden duck up front.
He was also at our game on the weekend for about 2 hours because he'd gotten out the week before.
That was also the game he broke the record for most.
Yeah, I think it might have been close to VSDCA.
I think it's Elster Mick.
No, it's the Elster Mick, sorry. It was the Elster Mick.
Getting a goalie at the top while breaking the all-time game record. That's...
But looking at this, it required some backbone from the fours, and John Donacki, 7 of 51, provided it. Mm-hmm. But the two main guys, Sud, 40 of 135, did the job, and our man SR again. 30 red off 100 balls with one boundary.
One boundary.
To be fair, that ground is terrible to play at. If you're a batsman, Sam Groves' dad wasn't happy with me last time.
You mean our team manager of the two spoke, right?
No, it's very hard to hit boundaries there. The grass is always very long and the pitch is usually a bit dicey. So that was a good chase for them. And their finals bound as well, obviously. Yeah. You got the ladder there by any chance, Jolie?
I was going to go to the fives, but...
They didn't play. They had a bye.
They're third, but they're within 2 points of first.
Yeah, okay. So, big game this week. Hopefully they get
it looks
the
like the top four is set there as well, though.
Yep.
God, that's a massive gap, isn't it?
That's what happens with divisions.
Fourth and 61, and then Domfell on 27.
That's what happens with divisions subbies. So, if you want to change that next year, that'd be good. The women's finished last week, so that's all results-wise.
All right.
But we've got a big weekend coming up, Jolly.
We do. We do have a big weekend. And we'll get to the how good quickly after this to wrap it up. But yes, big weekend starting with the vote count.
Yep.
Vote count on Saturday night. Now, I believe the theme is crap kit.
Yep.
Is what Cooper Davies has thrown to the crowd.
So you can just wear whatever. Yeah. Just something out of the wardrobe for you, Menzies.
Yeah. I'm straight off the top shelf. I'm pretty sure I've still got an 80s costume.
Oh, yeah.
I might be able to don.
Yeah. We're off duty as well, I think, which is huge.
Yeah. So, happy not to get the tap on the shoulder this year for the vote count. I just could sit back and have a couple of beers, which would be nice.
Who's running that?
I think Jack Phillips and Tom Cooper, I want to say. And there might be...
Happy with those replacements.
Yeah, I think Cooper's got some role as well. Cooper Davies.
Yeah, he's compiling the votes, which for some reason the captain's only got reminded of at the end of the season rather than to do it weekly.
That's like a go through the scorecard job.
Tommy Ashton went through all the scorecards and I was like, yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, that's right. And then on the Sunday, the Eels bash.
Really excited for this.
There's a few teams there. I think Woody and myself are in the Eel Avengers.
Yep.
The over 30 team with Michael Wood. He's the youth in the side.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know how far that youth's going to go, considering I've turned many an easy three into hard run twos with Michael Wood.
Who's doing the sprint out of you two?
Jesus.
Might need a 50-metre head start.
I couldn't blow a candle out of the game. I was playing with Woody, so I said, mate, you're beat until the end. I'm going short boundary.
Yeah, we could have got 330 if Joey and I could run three, honestly.
So some great functions coming up.
Yeah. So if you haven't got tickets to that as well, just buy a ticket. If you don't have a team, just turn up. We'll make it work. I know Nether's men are one short at the moment, so we'll be looking for a good candidate to fill that spot. So really keen for...
Public holiday Monday as well?
Yes, it is. Labor Day.
No excuse. Big Saturday night, big Sunday. Really looking forward to it. Have we got a how good?
I do. My how good will be the Bailey House night last Saturday. So always a great event at Elsternwick. Probably my favourite in my 4 years I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great evening. Look, everyone got involved. The Bailey House Bush Rangers, yet another win, 26 on the hop.
I think Ed made 300 again.
To get 100 again. To quote the Quinn's podcast, they may never lose again. Yeah. Bailey House Bush Rangers like the Quinn. There you go, there's a little plug. But yeah, no, great evening. Thoroughly my favourite, and they had a great time, the Bailey House, the Bush Rangers. So yeah, magnificent. That's my how good.
Yeah, Woody, have you got one? Put you on the spot.
I didn't actually, but no.
What's the best thing that's happened at the club the whole time you've been here?
Jesus.
I'm just...
Someone gets that fob situation fixed, that'd be right up there.
the visionary who removes the fob system.
If anyone's thinking about breaking into after the week, don't bother. It's an absolute fortress. my how good from the weekend, two's making finals.
Yeah.
Especially after I was getting really badly beaten away at Caulfield, bouncing back and beating Oakley to cement a spot in the top six was pretty damn good.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, right, you, Maxi?
I don't have one, as usual.
You don't have one?
Yeah.
But your house was class, though, wasn't it?
Bezley, yeah, it's a
great you're captaining the Nethercott side, aren't you?
Is it Nethersman? Your side? Nethersman, yeah. Nethersman. I don't not captain anymore, Matt.
Yeah.
Once you got a taste for it. I'm not letting anyone
tell me where to go. You've got power hungry.
I think Woody was actually trying to take over in that T20 when we first started.
Yeah,
mate. He was yelling at me from the boundary, Maxi. It's like, who are you, mate?
That was the first game I hadn't skipped in about 3 years, and I had to remember where I was. Sorry.
I had to remember where you were because Max wasn't telling you. Leave from the front.
Yeah, just go out there somewhere.
I think I ran past him at 12th over at Oakwood Park. I was like, sorry, Matt, keep talking at it. He went, no, you're right. I was like, God, he hates me.
Very good. Well, Woody, mate, right on 30 minutes. So a good length episode.
Yep.
Thank you very much for coming on, mate. It's great to have you. Great to have your contributions. I'll see you on Saturday, probably at the home game at Malvern for Menzies,
yep.
Just down Glenferrie Road.
Yeah. See everyone Saturday night and Sunday.
Yes.
Beautiful.
See everyone there.
Good luck, everyone.
Go Eagles.
Thanks, Woody.